Well, welcome everybody. Hey, man, what a great thought today that God is growing our faith, right? That he is teaching us to trust him more and more. And I pray that that's your mindset, even as we're singing about the power of Jesus, the power of God to come through for us. And even though you hadn't seen him move yet, look, it's coming. God hasn't failed you. He's coming through. And so I pray that your heart and your spirit, even as we're worshiping right now, is that you want God to grow your faith. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 17 today. We're slowly working our way through the story of Abraham in Genesis. And so we're going to be in Genesis 17 today. I want to ask you, do you know how to make a snowball? Now, some of y'all are thinking, dude, this October, there ain't no snowballs, and it very seldom snows in Mississippi. I get that, but if it were, when it has, do you know how to make a snowball? You kind of get some snow if it snows enough, and you kind of pack it in your hand, and then if it snowed a lot, you can kind of roll that snowball around, and that snowball just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You ever done something like that? Maybe even build a snowman. I'm convinced that we are either making positive or negative snowballs in our life every single day, not by physical snow, but with the choices that we make. Think about it. You ever made a negative snowball relationally? You do somebody wrong or somebody does you wrong, and what do? You do them back wrong plus one, and then they do you back wrong plus two, and you do them back wrong plus three, and the next thing you know, you got a train wreck in that relationship. Or you can make a snowball negatively when it comes to money. Y'all ever done that? You ever made a bad decision financially and that made you make another bad decision and another bad decision, and next thing you know, you're in a financial mess. It can happen with your habits. You can make a bad choice and that leads to a second bad choice and a third bad choice, and the next thing you know, you're in a negative snowball of addiction. But you know what? You can also make positive snowball choices with your life. You can choose to serve and be kind and not respond and reciprocate. And you know what? The other person's more likely maybe to respond back. And then you're on a positive track of serving and loving each other in a positive way. Dave Ramsey says, work the debt snowball, right? Pay off your debt, smallest to largest. Make some positive choices to find financial freedom. And even with your own choices, your freedom, your walking in a new life of peace and joy starts with the first right decision in the right direction. We're making positive or negative choices, snowball type choices all the time. Now, in the scripture today, when we come to Genesis 17, we're going to see a positive spiritual snowball in the life of Abraham. Abraham has struggled, and he's been on the struggle bus, and he's been impatient, and he's been imperfect. But God's going to come to him and reveal to him an opportunity to grow his faith by taking steps in the right direction. Here's kind of the plan. Here's the way it's going to look in the scripture. I've kind of got a diagram. God's going to give revelation that's going to lead to obedience, and that obedience is going to lead to blessing, which is going to lead to then more revelation from God. And the more God reveals and you obey, God blesses, the more that begins to grow and become a positive snowball. Now, the opposite thing is true too. If God gives revelation, if God speaks to you and you disobey, it doesn't lead to blessing. That leads to discipline. And until you get that right, that cycle just continues to get worse and worse as well. So which cycle are you in? Are you building positive spiritual snowballs? Are you making positive spiritual progress or negative? The invitation for you today is to see the example of Abraham and begin to live this positive cycle of God revealing to you, you obeying and experiencing God's blessing. Now, I'd also say parenthetically, I think this exact same type of cycle is revealed by Jesus. In John 14, 21, we won't look at it today, but you can go look at it. He says, man, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, me and my Father will reveal more of ourselves to you. There'll be more for you to love, more for you to obey, more for you to experience in our goodness. Same idea. That wherever you are, no matter how imperfect your journey has been, you are one right decision today away from experiencing God doing a new thing, taking steps toward experiencing the presence of God, in the obedience of God, and the blessing of God that comes along with that. Now, it's been in the scripture that we're studying, we're looking at the life of Abraham. It's been over 25 years since the call of God on Abraham's life when he began this journey of faith. All right, at this point in the story, he's 99 years old, and God is not through developing and growing his faith. God is not done yet. We just sang that. If I'm not dead, you're not done. In this chapter, God stretches Abraham's faith in multiple ways, and that's the nature of your journey of faith too. God's going to constantly, he's never going to leave you alone. God's going to constantly stretch you and grow you as his child. Okay, and let me just say, stop right here and say, it's been almost 30 years in Abraham's life journey, and we only get to see these little bits and pieces. And this is one of the things I think God is really revealing to me, that your spiritual journey is not one just constant big event after another. Actually, it really more resembles, man, God will show up in a big way, and then you may go weeks, months, years even, of just routine, steady, following after God in faith. And then something else big may or may not happen. But it's not just one all big party. It's not one all big low. It's a journey of faith. But in this journey, God does not just drop all of himself and reveal everything about him and his plan all at once in your life. You couldn't handle that. Nor does he drop all the requirements of following him and the challenges that you're going to face in your lifetime. He doesn't drop that in a conversation. Nor does he dangle the carrot of manifold blessings in front of your faith at the start of your journey. Otherwise, you might just follow him for the blessings. Instead, here's what happens. In time and over time, God increasingly reveals more of himself, more of his demands on your life, and more of his blessing. So today, what I want you to open your heart to receive from the Word of God is this, that God has you on a journey, and it's just that. It's a journey, and God has not revealed himself all at once to you. He hasn't outlined all of his plans yet and his blessings for you. But if you will stay engaged, I'm convinced if you'll stay in the process with him, keep walking on this journey of faith, you're going to find that God will be more than faithful to reveal and call you out and cover you up with his blessings in your life. Okay, let's read the scripture together. Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and he said to him, I am God Almighty. You ought to underline that in your Bible. God's revealing a new name. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I'll multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. See, I told y'all he was going to change his name. I've been calling him Abraham for weeks, right? He's finally changing his name. No longer Abram, but you're going to be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I'm going to establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you through their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your descendants after you, I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Skip down to verse 10. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. See, I told you she got a new name too. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. All right, that's the scripture that we're looking at for today in this journey of faith where God's going to grow you today. He wants to expand your faith and grow you to a new place in your faith journey. And here's what you can expect as God's got you in this positive spiritual snowball. I want to give you three expectations that you can have. Here's number one as you're growing in faith. You can expect God to give you increasing revelation. In your journey of faith, God's not cutting you off and never going to tell you any more about himself. He's in relationship with you. Just like when you're in a relationship with a person, the more you're with them, the more you're around them, the more you walk and do life with them, the more you get to know them. In the same way, God is saying on your faith journey, you can expect for God to reveal more of himself, who he is, what his plans are for your life. This chapter, chapter 17, begins with God revealing himself in a new way to Abraham. He says, I'm God Almighty. Now, if you're a person who loves the names of God, this is El Shaddai, Okay, that's the Hebrew terminology. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. It means that God is the all-sufficient one. He's the all-powerful one. He is omnipotent. God can do anything. Nobody can stop God. God doesn't need anything, and he doesn't need anybody or anybody's help. God is enough. Now, God's enough in himself. That's what this name means. God is enough in himself. He's sufficient and all-sufficient. He has all that he needs, and he doesn't need anyone or anybody else. For Abraham, here's what it means. Abraham, you need to just calm down and be still right here and know that you don't have to be perfect, and I don't need your help. God can do anything. He can bring about his plan to pass, and he doesn't have to make Abraham do it or Abraham help God out. Now, as I think about that God is all-sufficient, doesn't need anybody or anything, and yet he comes to Abraham, here's what it speaks into my heart. Here's what I've been kind of praying through and just thanking God for. That means if God is the all-sufficient one, God doesn't need you. God doesn't have to have you. Which means if God does come to you and reveal himself to you, he does it because he wants to, because he loves you, because he values you, because he desires relationship with you. And that's the very heart of God the Father. That may be a revelation to you right there, that God just says, if I'm doing business with you, it's out of a position of grace and mercy and love toward you. And that causes me to just say, God, thank you. Thank you. I don't know who needs to hear that right now, that God doesn't need anybody's help. He can do anything. Whatever it is you're facing that's impossible, God can handle it. And he cares for you, even though you can't do anything for him. He's enough in himself, and he's enough for you. You have all that you need in him. Abraham's almost 100 years old. Maybe he is at this point, because it's been 13 years since the last chapter, and it's been a long time since God really spoke a word to Abraham. And so maybe Abraham is doubting. You ever do that? God's silent for a little while, and you start doubting yourself or doubting your ability or wondering if maybe your failure has somehow disqualified you with God. I think Abraham's probably got all those thoughts going through his mind. Man, did that whole deal with my impatience and getting pregnant by Hagar and Ishmael, did that somehow set me back with God? And God comes to him and says, dude, I'm God Almighty. I'm enough. I'm sufficient. I'm all sufficient. And I have everything I need in myself to love you and Abraham to help you be a daddy even at 100 years old. God is revealing himself, I think, to you right now. If you're open to it, God is trying to speak to you, even in this word. He's saying to you right now, I love you. He's saying to you right now, I'm enough. I can do anything. And you don't have to bring anything to the table. I'm enough for you. I don't need you to add anything to me. God's enough for your shortcomings. God knows your failure, your weakness, your inadequacy. He's enough to forgive you and to carry you whenever you fail. Isn't that good news? Man, thank God. And God is enough to supply you in your desires or in your fears or in your battles or in your struggles. He's strong whenever you're weak. He's enough even when you're facing the impossible. He's God Almighty, and nothing is impossible with him. I love the way the psalmist says it in Psalm 121. He says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is God Almighty, and there's nothing impossible with him. Now, here's why I think God is probably speaking this word to Abraham, and maybe it's why he would speak this word to you today. As you look at the way that the text unfolds, I think it's very, very possible that Abraham has lost his focus on God, and his focus is now on himself, his age, his mistakes. And God has to adjust Abraham's focus back to God, the Almighty, the one who can do anything. When God reveals himself, Abraham falls on his face. He's honoring God. He's showing reverence. He's stopping to listen to God. And I would just say to you that maybe you've gotten your focus off of God, and your focus over the last couple of days and weeks has been on everything but God. And yet God today is saying to you, like he said to Abraham, hey, I'm God Almighty. Look at me. Trust me. I've got a word for you. I'm enough for you. And he's inviting you right now to listen, to stop and listen to God. God talked to Abraham. He talked with Abraham, verse 3 says, and God's talking with you right now. He wants to reveal himself to you in your journey of faith. Even though you would say, man, I'm not real good at this whole faith thing. I'm real bad at this faith thing. I've never really done much in this faith thing. God is saying to you right now, trust me. I'm wanting to speak to you on the journey of faith, just like I did with Abraham. As you go and as you grow, God's going to reveal more and more of himself to you. But you have to be willing to stop and listen, which means you can't be so busy that church is only every now and then, that you almost never read the Bible or stop and pray. If you walk away from the divine rhythms of Sabbath and stillness and silence and solitude, you're probably not going to experience much of the positive snowball of revelation and obedience and blessing. You're going to stay stuck in that cycle that you're in. And so can I just ask you, how's that going? Because you're perfectly suited for and you're perfectly doing what you need to do to keep getting what you're getting right now. But if you're not satisfied with that and there's something inside of you, even in this moment, that senses, man, God's got more for me, then maybe God is saying, hey, listen, even this moment right now, listen, I'm speaking, I'm revealing myself to you. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus that they would have this kind of spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, look at it. It says, I pray, that comes from the previous verse, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, right, the Almighty, that he would give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. God can speak to you in a lot of ways, dreams, visions, through Christian friends, through your circumstances, through nature. But the primary way God speaks to you is like right now, through his word, as the Spirit of God is just taking the word and applying it to your life. That's why I encourage you to have a Bible reading plan. To put yourself in the presence of God's word so that the Spirit can reveal God to you. That's why we encourage you to get connected in a small group so that other people can encourage you on your journey. It's why worship together is so important, whatever campus you're at, online or any other campus. You need to make worshiping together, worshiping in God's presence. Make it a priority because it's an opportunity for you to get revelation so that you can start walking it out and experience God's best. Christy and I were doing some pre-marriage counseling the other day, and this young couple, they're about to get married, and they're going to be right out of college, and they're talking about their career. They're wanting to move out of town and kind of start going at life, but they said, hey, we got a question. Hey, what if we don't see ourselves doing this, you know, career stuff like we're about to do? What if we don't see ourselves doing that the rest of our lives? What if we think that maybe one day we would do something with missions or we would do some other type of career? What do we do? Now, what would you tell them? It doesn't matter what you say. Let me tell you what I told them, all right? Here's what I told them. I said, listen, Christy and I together, we're encouraging them. We said, listen, don't worry about where God's going to take you ultimately. You just walk in obedience to what God has told you to do right now. And if you'll just walk in obedience to the present revelation, God, this is where we think you're taking us. If you'll take this step, God will reveal the next step and the next step and the next step. Very seldom does God reveal the whole plan on the front end. He says, walk with me. And at just the right time, he reveals the next step. But you can expect in this journey of faith for God to give you increasing revelation if you'll listen. Okay? Here is the second thing. You can expect increasing obedience. God's going to place increasing demands that are going to require increasing obedience from you. At the beginning of this journey of faith, God asked Abraham to leave his homeland, his family, and go to a new place. Now it's nearly 30 years later, and God's raising the bar of expectation and obedience. He gives him three commands in these verses that we read. The first two are in verse 2, where he says, walk before me. God says, walk in front of my face. Walk knowing, Abraham, that I'm watching you. So live your life, walk, live, direct your life, wherever you go, whatever you do, in a way that honors me. God loves it. God supports it whenever you're walking in a way that is honoring to him in faith. God doesn't want you just to know him up here. Listen, come on, some of us are professional revelators. We got all kind of knowledge about God, but God is not impressed when you just know stuff. He says, walk before me, live that out, walk in obedience. You've been called to walk in obedience just like Abraham has. To walk, to live your life before God in a brand new way. God wants you to be all in with him. That's what it means to be a Christian. Paul wrote in Romans 6, verse 4, "Therefore we've been buried with him," with Jesus, "through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." The Christian life is described as a walk. It's your journey. It's the way you do life. Please hear me. This is not going to heaven one day. I need to speak that over. A lot of you raised in a tradition where you thought accepting Jesus means I'm going to heaven one day. Yes, but that is not it. That is not it. You are missing the very heart of what it means to be a Christ follower, an apprentice of Jesus. At a minimum, you've missed it. At the worst case, you've been deluded and you're not even a Christian. God doesn't want you to trust him to get you to heaven one day. He wants you to trust him to bring heaven to you right now. That you begin to walk in a brand new life where God is forming his likeness inside of you. He says, walk before me, be blameless. That's a command too. God wants you to be completely all in, all true, total integrity. No shadows, no skeletons, no secret sins. When it says be blameless, he's saying there's no place in your life where you say to God, I'm not doing that. There's no area of your life held back from God. I don't believe that to be blameless means that you're perfect and you're sinless. I think it just means you're not holding anything back. And when you do fall into selfishness or sin and you blow it, you fall into his grace, you confess that and you get back up and start walking again. In that same way, I think God wants you in your journey of faith to have an increasing blamelessness. You believe that? You believe that God wants you in your life to sin less and less and to more and more be like Jesus. Come on, this is basic Christian stuff, but we need it. God is calling you in your journey of faith to start walking in a blameless way. I don't think any of us really understand all that that means or requires on the front end of our journey. I know I sure didn't. Not whenever I accepted Christ. But through the journey, it's clear that God is calling us more and more through the months and years of following him. He's calling us to be more like Christ. This process of being blameless is what the Bible calls, can I drop a church word on you? The churchy word is, it's a Bible term, it's sanctification. It just means holiness, okay? In the New Testament, this idea of blamelessness, this call on your life is that you would be sanctified, set apart, that you would be holy to God. And it's a specific thing that happens to you, but then it's a process. Sometimes in preacher world, we call it peeling your onion, okay? I've not peeled very many onions. Matter of fact, Maybe a handful. I started to say I don't think I've ever done it, but I think I have done it. Where you're just peeling layer after layer. Now, I'm not talking about chopping an onion where you cut all the way through it. I'm talking about peeling an onion layer by layer. That's the idea of God bringing sanctification in your life. He starts to peel layer by layer, dealing not with everything, but one layer at a time. Some of the stuff that God's dealing with you right now, he wasn't dealing with you 5 years ago, but he is now. And the stuff God's dealing with you now, it's not stuff that you're going to be dealing with hopefully 5 years from now. He'll be moved on to a new layer. You got that? That God is saying in this process, this journey, God is wanting to bring about holiness and sanctification in your life. God is working to do that. Now, sanctification has two parts to it. And so can I just kind of parenthetically stop and say this for us, kind of get us all on the same page. Sanctification, Jesus has a part in that, and he establishes you as positionally sanctified. Sanctification is not anything that you do positionally, it's something that Jesus does. By his sacrifice on the cross, by his grace, whenever you trust him, he declares you holy. That's just now who you are. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." It's a declaration. You're forgiven. You're sanctified. That's your position in Christ. It's who you now are. It's your identity. And it has nothing to do with how you're living in the moment. It's what Christ has done for us. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, Paul's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and theirs. Come on, if you know anything about the book of Corinthians, you know these people are jacked up. These people are a mess. They're sleeping around, suing each other, doing each other wrong. And yet Paul says, no, positionally, you are sanctified. You're a saint already by calling. That's who you are. But then there is your part in sanctification. And this is your practice daily of walking it out in holiness. This is Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's 1 Peter 1:15 that says, but like the Holy One who called you, you too be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. God wants you to start walking in this holiness, this blamelessness. Your part is not, please hear me, it is not to try harder, to stop doing bad stuff, to try to do what you think is good. Sanctification is what the Spirit of God does as you surrender to Him daily, and He supplies the direction and then the strength to walk it out. This is part of you walking in this positive snowball where God's revealing and you're learning to obey in every way, whatever the layer is where God's calling you to do it right now, so that ultimately He blesses you. Now, here's the third command that He gives you in this idea of increased obedience, and that is, He said in verse 10, hey, receive circumcision. That was the sign of the covenant. Now, kids, if you don't know what circumcision is, ask your parents after the sermon. They'll be glad to explain it to you thoroughly. Circumcision was a physical reminder of a covenant that God was making. Abraham and those who followed in faith like him were receiving this sign of the covenant, just like this ring is a sign of the covenant I've made with my wife. It doesn't make me married, but it tells you that I am married. In the same way, circumcision was the sign of the covenant. It didn't make them God's child, but it showed that they already were God's children, and they were supposed to be different from the rest of the world. It would remind them, this sign would, it would remind every man, every day, throughout the day, in some of the most mundane things, you belong to God. And this sign of the covenant, weird as it is going to remind Abraham in a few months, whenever he and Sarah are conceiving their son of promise, Isaac, that this is the work of God Almighty. That God is the one who governs our lives. That's the whole point. He's receiving this mark of distinction in his body that says, I belong to God Almighty. A really weird sign, I get it. But it was God putting his mark on Abraham like a rancher would brand a cow, like a car maker puts their emblem on a car. Abraham wasn't living his old life in a new place. God was making him into a different and distinctive man in the midst of a wicked and mixed up culture. Please hear me. To follow Christ is not to live your same old jacked up life around the same old people. God is calling you to be distinctive in the midst of a culture that is increasingly mixed up and wicked. Circumcision was not the covenant. Please hear me. Just because a man got circumcised didn't make him a child of Abraham. That was the problem throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. Jesus was trying to correct that. Don't think that that makes you children of faith. No, no, that's not it at all. You get that sign of the covenant because you are saying, God, I trust you. I want to obey you. I receive your revelation. I want to walk your way. Now, in the New Testament, this is for you and me. The sign of our covenant, your covenant, that you walk with Jesus, it isn't circumcision, it's baptism, thank God, right? This is what Paul teaches us in Colossians 2:11. It says, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you receive Christ and you agree, I'm going to live in Him and I want to live with you. That's what you've revealed to me. This is the way. And I want to walk in that way. Then you receive this sign of the covenant of baptism. That the old you is gone and the life of the flesh that you live doing your own thing, that's buried. And now you're walking, you're raised to walk in a brand new life. That baptism, that accepting the sign of a covenant with God marks you as belonging to Him. This is now who you are. And it marks you and reminds you that you're called to live different from everybody else in this world. You're to be unique. Please hear me. Baptism is not the covenant. Just because your mom and daddy got you baptized or you got baptized because all your buddies were, does not mean that you are in the family of faith. No, you only get baptism. Baptism is only meaningful whenever you have heard God say to you, you need me, and you've said yes by faith to him. That's when baptism truly has power and meaning in your life. Now, I'm convinced that God is revealing himself to you right now, and your next step is going to determine whether or not you begin to experience a negative snowball because God's speaking, and you're like, man, I ain't really got time for that. And so you're going to miss it. But for some of you right now, God's revealing himself to you, and he's calling you to a deeper level of obedience in some way, and you know it. I can't explain it, but you know it right now that God's saying to you, come on, girl. Come on, dude. And you know it. And your next step, if you'll choose to say yes to God and take that step of obedience, whether that is to walk before God or to walk blameless before God or be baptized, God says, if you'll walk in obedience, man, I can bless that and bring you to really the third expectation that we have, and that is an expectation of increased blessings. Go back to verse 2. It says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. God's already made a covenant, but he's reiterating this covenant, this promise that God is not just going to give land, but he's going to give a posterity, children. He says, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. In the Hebrew text, it says very, very. The word's repeated. God's going to bless you with muchness, by force, with abundance, exceedingly. You're going to be a father of a multitude of nations. In Genesis 12, he's just going to be the father of nations. Now he's going to be a father of a multitude of nations. And because of that, Abraham gets his name changed. No longer is he going to be exalted father. He's going to be father of a multitude. Sarah gets a name change. She's no longer her daddy's princess. She is everybody's princess because from her is going to come kings. The king. Go back to Genesis 17:6 for just a second. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. When God changed Sarah's name, also in verses 15 and 16, he says, kings are going to come forth from you. Please hear me. God is working something. He's so wise. He's so smart. That's what we learned last week. He's ahead of us. He's so far ahead of Abraham. God is not just making Abraham to have a baby. God is writing salvation's story in this moment. And yes, the kings that are going to come from her are kings like Solomon and Rehoboam and Ahab and all these other kings of Israel, King David. But also through that line is going to come one named King Jesus. And Matthew picks up on that in Matthew 1, verse 1. This is the way he starts his gospel. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now take that verse and go back and wrap it into Genesis 17:6. When God says kings are going to come from you, he's thinking Matthew 1:1 already. Does that blow anybody else away besides me? That God is saying thousands of years before, Abraham, you have no idea how I'm going to release blessing through your life if you'll just stay on this journey of faith with me. Trust me, I'm God Almighty. Nothing is impossible. Walk before me. Walk in blamelessness. Take this covenant that I'm giving to you, and you aren't even ready for the way that I'm going to bring blessing, not just to you, but to the world. God, I think, has that same kind of blessing offering to you today. Some of the blessings of God you already know about. You know that God offers you forgiveness and peace and purity and purpose and provision and protection. And I don't want to minimize those at all. You know about those, and you may be experiencing some of those a little bit and think, well, you know, I know God's got some blessings for me. But check out what Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing of heaven. It's like the doors and windows are open, and God wants to reveal to you. He wants to pour out on your life in real time his blessings, but he's waiting on you to receive his revelation and to walk in obedience so that what he has for you can become yours. Can you track with that? That the positive snowball requires that when God begins to speak, like he's speaking now through the text and day by day, that as God reveals himself, you say yes to him, and God begins to let all the blessings of heaven begin to be yours in real time. Heaven's not heaven one day. Heaven and the blessing and the presence of God is right now for you. And God's blessings, as you walk that out, revelation, obedience, blessing, revelation, obedience, blessing, that begins to snowball. Jesus said as much in Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You had a job to do. You did it. It was awesome. Now you're going to get to do more. Blessing has come. That's the positive snowball. That's the life that Christ is inviting you into right now. And so here's my question for you. Are you living it? And so can we just think about that just for a second? Pass the sermon. Are you living right now? Would you say you're living in a positive snowball of spiritual blessing and revelation and obedience with God? Or would you honestly say, you know what? I don't think I am. I'm living in a negative snowball, or I don't even know what I'm living. Can I ask you, how's it going? How's that working for you? Because Christ is inviting you to something new on this journey of faith, to grow in your faith, to have an increasing experience of God. You know, earlier we were singing this song, My Testimony. And man, I love that song. It is my testimony. And this idea of hearing from God and choosing to walk with God and then experiencing blessings from God, that's my story. I accepted Christ whenever I was in middle school, 13, 14 years old, gave my life to Christ. But just being honest with you, I didn't really know all that that meant. I just knew that I needed Christ in my life and I wanted to walk with him, whatever that looked like. But for me, it still looked like a lot of me. And so up until I was really a sophomore in college, I lived with kind of a divided life. I knew I loved Jesus. I knew I needed Jesus. But I didn't really know what it meant to surrender and follow moment by moment. And so there was a lot of me. But as a sophomore in college, man, God brought me face to face with myself and how I was missing what he really had called me to in my life. And I chose in that moment, in that revelation, at a conference in Daytona, Florida, I chose the way of surrender to God and obedience. And I don't know how to explain it to you, but something happened. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was majoring in the thing my roommate was majoring in because he wasn't going to class and he was making good grades, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to just kind of hang out and do what I wanted to do and get good grades. So I had majored in communications because he did. But as I started walking with God, it was like God began to unfold for me a path for life, and he began to reveal to me some gifts that I had that I didn't know, and it was like God was saying, here, take a step. I went to seminary, and I was at seminary one day, and I heard a man say, hey, if you're too big to preach at a little church, you're too little to preach at a big church. And that stuck with me. It stuck with me whenever I was sitting in the parking lot of the Tangipahoa Baptist Church listening to Mr. Harold Wall. We're sitting in his white Crown Victoria. And Mr. Harold's probably 78 to 80 years old, old silver-haired minor league baseball pitcher, and he's crying. And he says, we just have 22 people, and we just need somebody to come help us. And all I could hear was that guy from seminary saying, if you're too big to go preach in a little church, you're too little to go preach in a big church. And I went to Tangipahoa, Louisiana, because I felt like that's what God was calling me and Christy to do. And we were obedient to that call. And can I just tell you, God was good. 22 turned into a few more. And man, it was a tough call. It was a tough place, but God still met us there. I thought I was going to be stuck there forever until a couple of years later, I got a call, an opportunity to come back to Mississippi. I moved to Brookhaven, Mississippi, Fair River Church. And man, it was just like, it was awesome. We loved it. But we were in the midst of that, having a great time. And I sensed God was calling me to fast for 14 days, to not eat any solid food, to have only water and coffee. Don't get crazy. I ain't giving up to coffee, right? To get water and coffee for 14 days just to seek his presence. Past that, I really didn't have anything to search for. I just didn't want to stay stuck in my position. I wanted to grow with Christ. I wanted to grow more in him. And so I sensed that's what God was calling me to do. And honestly, nothing spectacular happened at the end of those 14 days. It's not like, bam, you know, some great revelation. But you know what? By the end of the year, I got a call from a lady named Juanita Alexander who said, hey, would you consider coming to Pine Lake Church? We came to Pine Lake Church, and in 2001, 2002, our church was at a crossroads. It was at a crossroads. And we needed to move. We were dreaming that God wanted to do this new ministry, and we needed land and what is to build a campus and what is now the Reservoir Campus. But we needed some money for that, and we were broke. The average age of the church back then was 18 years old, which means you got a lot of youth and energy, but you ain't got no money. 18-year-olds ain't got no money, right? So we were broke. We had $500,000 in debt we could not pay. And yet our leadership felt clearly that God was saying, do this, God Almighty. And if God Almighty didn't show up, this was going to be a disaster. But as Christy and I prayed about that, we sensed that as the pastor, we should lead out strongly, that we should be an example. And we were praying about how much we should give in this 3-year campaign. And so one night I'm laying in the bathtub and just being honest before you, I'm praying, God, show me, tell me something. And God put something in my spirit. And I was like, oh my gosh. And being real with it, I was scared to go tell my wife. Fellas, y'all ever been scared to go tell your wife God said something? I was scared to go tell her. But I went into the room where she was and I said, Christy, I think God is telling us to give 1 year of our salary and compensation, all of it, in a 3-year period, 1 year of our total compensation goes to God. And because my woman is a woman of faith, she said, let's do it. And so we tightened our belt and we started living on 2/3 of our income a year for 3 years, and a third of it we just gave back. And over 3 years, we gave away that. And can I tell you, I'd love to tell you that, you know, oh my gosh, it was so hard and it was so bad and we had to do without and all that. But can I just tell you, that was not my experience. Because God had given this revelation and we were faithful to walk it out. God somehow met us and even supersized our blessings. We didn't miss anything that we needed. Over those 3 years, our church exploded in growth. We got pregnant with Reagan, our son. A friend gave us a car. I killed a big old buck that wound up in a magazine in Mississippi. Our faith grew in exponentially. Our lives changed when God revealed and we obeyed and God blessed. And I'm just telling you, that's been my testimony. This story today is my story. That from weak faith and imperfect faith and struggling faith, as we've just been in this journey, God has grown us. And as we've walked in obedience, God has blessed us in ways that we cannot measure. Now, thank God he's never asked us to make that kind of sacrificial gift ever again. But we live our lives under the blessing that came that day, even still. And I'm saying to you, God is offering you an opportunity to start a positive snowball today. He's inviting you to begin this journey as he's revealing himself and calling you to walk in obedience. He wants to engage you and bless you. That's his call. Obedience to his revelation leads to blessing. This is what he's saying to you. And so I would like for us right now, I just want to lead you. If God is speaking and revealing, can we do what Abraham did? Could we just kind of fall on our faces and just say, God, speak? Come on, could we pray together? Could I just lead you to pray right now in this moment? God is revealing himself to you maybe as God Almighty. He is enough. He's sufficient in himself. Would you just say, God, if you're dealing with me, that means you're doing it out of grace and love. Could you just give him thanks right now? And he's enough for you, and whatever you need, would you just say, God, you're enough? And God is calling you to obey, to walk before him, and to be blameless, and take steps of obedience, to live distinctively for him and different from the world. Would you say yes to that? Would you start the positive snowball? It's in your court. Start the positive reaction now. Surrender to him. Put your yes on the table. And now, if it would help you, sometimes I just put my hands open like they're about to receive something. God is opening the door of his best blessings for you. And would you just say, God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. Whatever you have for me, that's what I want. I'm about to pray, and that'll close our time in the Word today. But just know that you can text the word Jesus or pray or next in just a moment to 57555. We'd love to help you in your faith journey as you experience God's best. So, Lord, we love you. We bless you. I praise you. Thank you for being a God who constantly reveals yourself in more and new ways. Lord, would you grant to us a spirit of obedience and faith and worship? That as God, we walk with you, as we walk in blamelessness, and God, we surrender in obedience, and God, just do as you've called us to do. God, give us the faith to believe that in your time, your blessings come. And I believe that, God, I speak the release of your blessing and revelation now over your children. God, let your spirit lead us to obedience and to your best for us. In the name of Christ, amen.